Good morning, my dear friends. I'm actually writing and recording this edition of Walking with Jesus in a dear friend's home in a very special place to Dawn and me, Walworth County, Wisconsin. I was born in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, then taken to Haiti by my missionary parents when a very little boy in the early 1950s. Calvary Community Church here in Walworth County sent my family. And then 30 years later, in the middle 1980s, that same church sent Dawn and me to Haiti as a second-generation missionary family, and we took our young daughter, April, as my parents had taken me. Then again, about 30 years later, that same church sent April and her husband, David, and their four girls to Africa as third-generation Anderson missionaries. I was senior pastor of that dear Calvary Community Church at that time in 2014. I drove by that church this afternoon as I was returning here from a men's conference where I had the privilege of opening my heart in God's Word to a large group of men who had gathered at a wonderful place called Silver Birch Ranch to spend a weekend with God. This ranch is way up north, about 5 hours' drive north of here, deep in the woods, and God met with us in wonderful, life-changing ways. Now this evening I've had the joy of seeing several dear friends from our Calvary Church days, and tomorrow I fly back to Florida where my wife Dawn and I live, as we seek now to spiritually serve missionaries who are serving all over the world. This morning, friends, you and I are in one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1. I realize I started this chapter on Monday, and here we are Wednesday, and I've only made it through 8 verses with you. If it's okay with you, we're going to walk, not run, through Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus. We're going to stop often to think, ponder, and ask God to speak to us. 2,000 years after God first spoke these words into Paul's heart. This letter has changed lives on every continent and almost every nation over the centuries, so I hope you and I will experience some powerful things together with the Holy Spirit of God penetrating our hearts. You'll notice Paul uses one of his favorite words, mystery, in verse 9. Listen, "And he," that's God the Father, "made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Jesus Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." Wow, that's a mouthful. Would you agree? Do you see God smiling in that verse? You see the little phrase, "according to his good pleasure." That says God not only has purposes he's working to accomplish here on this earth, but his purposes, when accomplished, bring him great joy, good pleasure, delight. I love imagining that God is smiling when he looks at us, his people. How about you? My friends, you and I bring a smile to God's face. He maybe even claps his hands in delight when we're actively involved in cooperating with Almighty God as he accomplishes his purposes here on planet Earth. Now think about that, friends, and consider this. God doesn't need your help or mine to get anything done. If he can create the whole universe by himself in 6 days, then he sure doesn't need our help to accomplish his purposes, does he? Yet God delights in involving us as he accomplishes his purposes here on earth through his people. And that, my friends, is the greatest privilege any human being can have, partnering with God. So I wonder what God has done in the last 7 days involving you in your part of our world, as he has accomplished his purposes, which then brought him great pleasure. Do you also see how intentional and strategic God is in what Paul wrote? Paul uses the words, "he purposed," "put into effect when times will reach their fulfillment," "under one head." Those are intentional, purposeful, strategic words of action. The Almighty Holy God does all that he does on purpose, with order, and with an objective in his mind. The words accident or mistake or oops are not in God's vocabulary. Do you agree? Do you see that interesting phrase, "when the times will have reached their fulfillment"? God is very conscious of time, my friends. I'm fascinated by the fact that scientists have studied sunrises and sunsets enough they can actually predict to the second exactly when the sun will cross the horizon tomorrow morning, and 100 years from now on any given day. That's because God is exact. The natural laws that he has set in motion function according to his exact design. Time is important to God. He has set in motion the rotation of the planets to accomplish seasons, days, months, years, etc., according to his design. And as God integrates the unfolding of human history into his overall purposes, wow, listen to Galatians chapter 4. It says, "When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law." God knew exactly when the right time would be for Jesus to come to earth and become our Savior. That's part of the mystery of his will that Paul speaks of. Another part of the mystery is, of course, that God would send Jesus, the Son of God, to pay the death price for our sin, so God could forgive our sin and adopt us as his people. And another part of the mystery is Paul's phrase, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. As Jesus rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven, he assumed his new place of sovereign supremacy over all things, Hebrews 1:3. All things created in the universe, including heaven, and all people of all time. Nothing is outside the sovereign authority of Jesus. You'll see Paul says it again in verse 22, "And God placed all things under his, Jesus Christ's, feet and appointed him to be head over everything." You've heard of a double-barrel shotgun, right, my friends? Well, Ephesians 1:11 and 12 is the second barrel. We've just spent 5 minutes digging into verse 9 and 10. Now let's add verse 11 and 12 to complete this powerful statement of God's truth. "In him," that's Jesus, "we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him," God the Father, "who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory." These two verses came alive to me in great power when I was diagnosed 4 years ago with highly aggressive prostate cancer. And I had not felt sick. I had no idea. Suddenly, Dawn and I were faced with some really important decisions. The doctors told us we needed to act very quickly. We saw in Ephesians 1:4 that God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Here in verse 11 and 12, Paul uses the same idea of God's foreknowledge and calls us to consider that everything that happens in our lives will be worked by God into conformity with the purpose of his will. In my case, that means God has and will somehow work my cancer into conformity with the purpose of his will at work in my life. Can you embrace that, my friends? That's heavy, but it means God doesn't waste anything that touches your life or mine. Everything, every wonderful experience, every pain, every disappointment, everything in our lives, God will weave together like a tapestry into conformity with the purpose of his sovereign will. That gives me great hope and faith when the storms of life rage around me. Of course, it calls us to answer the questions, do we trust God? Do we trust him to be faithful and true to his holy character, his word, his promises? One last thing I'd like to point out in these verses. Paul wanted his dear Christian friends to celebrate, even though they faced great persecution, for two reasons. First, God was weaving all their pain into conformity with the purpose of his will. And second, they were the first to hope in Christ, and God's great ultimate objective for each of them was that they would be for the praise of his glory. Do you see that phrase? It means their lives, every aspect of their lives, would bring great praise and glory to Almighty God, even the painful things of their lives. Now, my friends, I invite all of us to embrace this for us today, wherever you are. Our greatest privilege when we awaken each morning is that every moment we live, every day, is God's purpose that we will be for the praise of God's glory. Every word, every attitude, every choice, every decision, every action, everything, be for the praise of his glory. Now that, my friends, gives you and me purpose for living today. The French phrase is raison d'être, reason to be. Your reason and mine for existing today is to be for the praise of God's glory. Oh my, if we were all together someplace right now, I'd invite my dear worship leader friend Loon to lead us in something like, Jesus, we crown you with praise. But since we're not all together, why don't you just start singing right where you are, maybe the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You know the rest of it. Go ahead, keep singing. What if the rest of our lives, each of us, lived each day, every hour, to be for the praise of His glory? With all you got and all you is, as some of my friends might say. Oh, Lord Jesus, we do praise you today. Almighty Heavenly Father, we desperately want every aspect of our lives today to bring you great glory. Thank you for giving us life today so we can be for the praise of your glory.